In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and this show is all about keeping you across all things Pacifica sport. So let's dive right into it and get to what's coming up on the show. We hear from a former PNG Peppers representative now stepping into the role as a PNG Peppers netball coach as she prepares for a big and busy season ahead.
So there's the Pacific Challenge Cup. So that's where it's going to focus just purely on the local girls. So this is just an opportunity for these ones to be seen by myself as the coach and also the selectors throughout the year. That's going to happen in November. And in September, we have the regional qualifiers for the World Cup in Tonga. So some of the girls in the Peppers are vying for that.
And while it's a sport that often flies under the radar, we'll have a look at how chess is growing in Vanuatu.
The response has just been a lot of acceptance. Our motivation has been to give all persons in Vanuatu the opportunity to learn this game.
And don't worry, we haven't forgotten about the OFC. We've got all the latest results coming out of that, plus plenty to catch up on across cycling, rugby, and tennis. And in a Fresh Off the Field first, for the third week in a row, we are chatting badminton. Man, forget about rugby. This is the new sport across the Pacific. So we'll dive into that one. And of course, I do need a lot of help to get me through all the news. So I've called in the big guns. Every week, I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat sport in the region. I'm going to get to my first one now. PNG sports journalist Jamie Huddle, as well as Nevan cricketer and commentator Melissa Fare. Welcome to you both, ladies.
Good morning, True Sam. Hello, everyone who's listening on the show. It's great to be back for another episode.
It's good to have you on. And Mel, how are you feeling?
I am feeling great. It is still on holidays, but always good to chat and talk about Pacific sport.
Oh, so we've grabbed you on your holidays, have we? So you're working on your holidays. So you're putting
I'm
in the effort.
I'm working on my holidays.
Working on your holidays.
Working.
Where are you? Whereabouts are you based for your holidays?
Well, I'm in New Zealand at the moment, just enjoying some time and beautiful New Zealand weather. So that's where I am at the moment.
Oh, mate, things are heating up over there, actually, with Super Rugby kicking off this weekend. So I know all the New Zealand fans will be very excited about that. And Jamie, speaking of rugby, I know that you like to lace the boots up every year. Are you going around again?
To be honest, the boots have been sitting in the closet for a while and I am actually going to bring them out this evening to do some training for 7th in April.
Oh, so you're going to dust off the cobwebs, you're going to put them back on. Are they going to still fit?
Oh, they will definitely,
fit. Still
and
fit.
I am really looking forward to the pre-season training.
Well, make sure you don't go too hard, all right? Make sure you warm into things. If you haven't done anything for a while, we don't want you injured on your first session. But that's enough about us. Let's get to what's coming up here.
The Big Bowl.
Yes, this is the Big Bowl. It's where we come together. We take a seat on the mat and chat the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back and fill your cup up as myself and Jamie run through the must-know sports news in the region. Sorry, also forgot about Mel. Sorry, Mel. I'm not going to leave you out of the Big Bowl. But we've got some wonderful news here on the Big Bowl. So we're going to go to you first, Jamie. I hear there's some history being made in PNG basketball. What's the latest?
Yeah, so good news for PNG basketball. Our 3x3 women's basketball team has qualified for the first time for the Commonwealth Games in Scotland this year. And they become the first national team to ever reach this level among a field of 12 nations worldwide. So just 2 weeks ago, we received news, or just last week, we received news that disqualification marks a breakthrough for the code, and also for, and get this, for Team PNG's team sport, since the last team sports representations were netball and rugby sevens. And that was like 16 years ago during the New Delhi Games in India. So since this format was introduced in the region and also in PNG, a lot of great results were produced from local competitions to national and international stages through support from FIBA Oceania and the Pacific Osports Team Up DFAT partnership programs, especially running high camp, high performance camps and other training. So this is a big news for 3x3 basketball. To understand how the team qualified, last year our 3x3 women's team competed in two big international events, which included the FIBA Asia Cup qualifiers in Singapore and then the FIBA 3x3 Youth Nations League in Oceania, where our under 23 represented PNG during the Pacific Mini Games in Palau. So our rankings improved after December last year through the points obtained. And from the ranking system, I can tell you that the youth women had a higher ranking than the seniors and youth men's team, especially after the strong performance. So this actually helped push PNG's 3x3 standings through the ranks. That means the more wins, you have more points, and then you improve the ranks. So that is some good news for Papua New Guinea. And on top of that, I'm really happy to say that the Oceania region will be represented by five nations at the Glasgow Games, with the best of the best now vying to make the team for Scotland. So really exciting news for 3x3 basketball.
Yeah, great news there, especially, you know, for a long time they haven't had a team sport there at the Com Games. But I've just looked at the weather in Glasgow today. It's 4 degrees and most likely it's going to be snowing. How do you think the girls are going to adjust to those conditions comparing, you know, to what they actually come from in PNG? It's always nice, hot and humid over there. How do you think they're going to go in the cold?
To be honest, like, especially with teams going to another country, you have to acclimatize first or try to train in different conditions. So when you go to such like countries like that have this sort of weather conditions, then you can adapt. But yeah, it will be tough, but I hope the girls will adapt before they go to compete at the Com Games.
Mel, when you hear about these type of stories, especially, you know, a 16-year drought for PNG and team sports, I know that we always love when our Pacific Island teams, you know, break ground and either get into a new sport or come back from a long time being out of a sport. You know, how does it make you feel knowing that there's going to be some representation in some team sport there for PNG?
Look, Sam, I am all for Pacific representation at big tournaments like that and big sporting events. So I'm very excited for PNG. And, you know, the Pacific spirit will always continue. We will support PNG. We will support any Pacific representation there. So I'm actually looking forward to all the Pacific representation that will be happening in Glasgow.
Nice. And then we may as well stay with you right now. As you mentioned, you're currently in New Zealand. Have you seen much coverage of what you're going to talk about with the Victor Oceania Championships in 2026?
No, I actually haven't. I've been following it a little bit on social media, but not actually watched any of the live stream. But yes, the grand finals are happening today, will be happening today in Auckland at 4 p.m. local time. The grand finals of the Victor Oceania Championships 2026 will be happening. There are, unfortunately, no Pacific Island countries in any of the finals, in any of the categories, but we did have Pacific Island representation in the likes of Fiji, Cook Islands, French Polynesia, which is Tahiti, New Caledonia, and the Northern Marianas. They were the Pacific Islands representations, and they competed in all the different categories. So in the men's singles, the women's singles, men's doubles, women's doubles, and mixed doubles as well. The best result that we've got, we had, as you know, Pacific Island countries, was from French Polynesia, which made it through to the round of 16 in the men's singles. No Pacific teams in the finals or round of 16 or round of 32 in the women's singles, but in men's doubles, Cook Islands, French Polynesia, and Fiji all made it through to the round of 32, but did not go any further. And similar to women's doubles as well, French Polynesia, Northern Marianas and New Caledonia all made it to round of 32, but did not progress any further than that. French Polynesia, however, fell to New Zealand in round of 16, but that's the furthest we've gone from our Pacific Island representation. But Sam, look, while we're on this on badminton as well, we've been having a lot of great representation from the Pacific. And I also want to note that badminton is really growing rapidly in the Pacific Islands. And this year, we're talking about the Pacific representation. This year, we've seen the first ever Pacific representation at Para Badminton World Championships, which is representative from Vanuatu, Chaklinda Moliudu, who competed in Bahrain, representing Vanuatu, but also the Pacific. And she competed in the women's singles for the SH6 classification in that tournament. So lots of representation for badminton, and looking forward to seeing more.
Yeah, for those who don't know what the Victor Oceana Championship is, it is the badminton sport, and it's definitely grown. It's grown here on this show because we've spoken about badminton 3 weeks in a row, so it's obviously growing. Jamie, have you ever played badminton before?
Yes, I did try. I did play badminton once at the Uni Games back here in Palm, so it's very good, but it'll also test your patience to be quick.
So I'm assuming you weren't very good at it then?
No. All I did was I was just running around the courts just to the Betty, whatever what they call. I forgot the name of the little thing that they used.
The shuttlecock.
The shuttlecock.
Yes, that's cool. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think, where are you going with this? And I just wanted to see what you were going to say, see what name you would have come up with. But it is the shuttlecock that you use as, I guess, the ball. Gosh. We're so used to being a tennis ball. But
yeah.
That's the comparison there. Okay, how good's that? Well, I'm just going to go to my big bowl story. I think this is a huge one. It is the Polynesian Track and Field Championships are being held in New Zealand next month, between the 5th and the 8th of March. This is the first time in 10 years this has happened, the Polynesian Track and Field Championships. Last time it was held in Tahiti, over 100 athletes, Samoan, Tongan, Cook Island, Tuvalu, Tahiti, American Samoa, French Polynesia, and Niue will all have representatives competing in the track and field. Some of the big names that we'll see there, Alex Rose from Samoa. He is the World Athletics Championship bronze medalist in the discus. He's a three-time Olympian, so he'll be there. And we're going to see a standalone Polynesian men's and women's 100-meter final, which is going to be the showcase event. So we're really looking forward to that come next month. And the big reason why this is happening again, and it's like what we heard with Jamie and the 3-on-3 basketball, this is going to strengthen connection across the Pacific nations and development, not only for the athletes, but for coaches as well, because they're going to have workshops there. And everything's in preparation to get towards Brisbane 2032 Olympics with a lot of confidence in the preparation, a lot of reps on the board for the athletes so that they've competed in high competitions, so they can feel the pressure, they can feel what it's like to be inside that arena so they can perform at their very best when they compete on the world stage in Brisbane. So that's massive news for our Polynesian talent in the track and field. And ladies, when you think about performing at the highest level, the best way to, I guess, learn your craft is make your mistakes in some competition games. And when you think about, the Olympics being the ultimate global sport pressure situation, like how important it is to have all these leading competitions to be able to help athletes prepare for those type of games?
What Sam said, it's always important to make mistakes and then you learn from it to improve your craft as you go further. And like what we were just talking about, the Com Games, that's just one step. And then when you look at the bigger picture, there's the Olympics. So you have to put that, set a goal to work towards it, and that's it.
Thoughts on that as well, Mel?
Sam, I just wanted to add, these competitions help build a strong mindset as well, because mentally sport is also a very, very mental thing. And in order to build our mindsets and to be strong mentally, to be able to compete against other in tournaments like the Com Games, having little tournaments like that within the region is very important for that.
That's a big one. That mental, the mental side of things in sport, especially if you're lining up against the USA or Australia or one of the bigger nations, and you come from the tiny islands, it's important that you feel like you belong there, that you can still compete and be on the track with some of those big name athletes. So this is very important for athletes to prepare well and perform at their best when the time comes. So good news all around. But that's it for the Big Bowl for now. We'll refill it next week and keep you informed here on Fresh Off the Field with the must-know stories across the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
We absolutely love talking about the big stories, but now is our chance to meet someone involved in the game and in the region. And later in the show, we'll hear from you, Mel, and your chat with Jeremy Ellison from Vanuatu Chess Federation about how it's helping Vanuatu gain skills in areas you wouldn't think of. But for now, Jamie, we're going to hear the chat you had with PNG Peppers head coach Lua Rikas. It sounds like you were on the court with her. Tell us about your time with her.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to sit and observe from afar that Lua Rikas was actually soaking in the experience from Netball Australia's former international and also Melbourne Vixen coach Simone McInnes, who travelled over to Papua New Guinea to host a 2 days workshop for Netball PNG. And also she spoke about the plans they had for this year moving forward.
And what did you start off by asking her?
I started by asking Coach Lua Rikas about the engagement with Netball Australia and the engagement with Australian International and Melbourne Vixens coach Simone McInnes.
Everything that I tell the girls about, she just came and she's telling them the same thing. So I think for me was, yes, if a high-profile coach like Simone can come and talk about the importance of basics, then it's important that we work on those. So I think the focus of our the session was to just work on the basics. Once we master that, and that's what she said in the introduction, once we master that, you can work on other stuff, other skills. We can add it on. So I think for the girls, it's usually focus on doing the, spectacular plays, and then we don't have the basics, like the footwork and the ball placement. But then she came in, she's like, we're just going to do this, and this is what we do at the Vixens as well. Some of the drills are the stuff that she does at the Vixens. So I think for girls to come and be part of this session with Simone, it's an honor. And for myself as a coach, to be sitting down and just listening to her coach the girls. And then I'm looking forward to tomorrow's session with her again. Rubbing off ideas, asking questions. I think that's what I'll be doing, is just trying to get as much I can from her being here in PNG. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity.
With this today's training camp with Coach McInnes, you managed to bring in your under-21 junior squad, or the PNG junior PNG Peppers, into that training, today's training camp. Now, how's the feeling like, especially for these young ones, learning from a very experienced coach and former Australian international?
So I think the purpose of bringing them in is to get them to understand what it's like to be at the national level, the Peppers. So I think oftentimes we just bring girls in that have no exposure. They come in and they struggle to adapt at the national level. So the purpose of bringing them in is to see what it's like, what's expected of you. If you want to make the national team, this is what you need to be doing. So I think, I found that the girls just were soaking everything in from Simone and just, putting in the effort, taking part in all the drills and having a goal. So I think that's important for us as we move forward, is we're bringing more younger girls coming in. So when we have tournaments up, they've already been exposed and then they're ready when we need them to go out and represent our.
What are some tournaments that you're looking forward to this year?
Yeah, so we had, there was a tournament that's supposed to happen in June, but unfortunately that got cancelled. So we're looking at, the Pacific Challenge Cup. So that's where it's going to focus just purely on the local girls. So this is just an opportunity for these ones to be seen by myself as the coach and also the selectors throughout the year. That's going to happen in November. And then in September, we have the regional qualifiers for the World Cup in Tonga. So some of the girls in the Peppers are vying for that. And I think it's important when you bring the younger girls in, even the older ones know that they need to be pushing themselves, because, your spot on the squad is not secure. You've got younger girls that are coming in that are faster, maybe that are, can do more than you. So it's important that everyone's on their toes, pushing themselves, then we get the best team for September.
Unfortunately, there will not be any netball tournaments during the 2027 Pacific Games in Tahiti. You still have 2 years before the Pacific Mini Games in Cook Islands. What's the plan now?
Unfortunately, we won't be at the Pacific Games because Tahiti don't play netball. So the next games we're looking forward to is the 2029 Mini Pacific Games in Cook Islands. So we have a long break from attending the Pacific Games. But, you know, we're hoping that through the next couple of years, Netball PNG has opportunities for younger girls or development squads. So I'm really grateful to Netball Australia, to the Pacific Girls Sports Program for having this Challenge Cup. So we're going to go and see, you know, our local talent against local talent from Samoa and Tonga and Fiji, and then we'll see how we fare. So, yeah, I'm excited about that and for girls.
Right now, how many players do you have in your current squad?
So at the moment, we have 23. And when we're selecting for the regional qualifiers in September, we're going to have our overseas base that are also going to come in. So we're hoping to have a camp in April. So then we get those girls coming in, and then everyone's trialing, and then we pick a squad of hopefully 25 to 30, and then we just work with that group until the World Cup qualifiers.
How do you keep the girls motivated to make the final cut?
Yeah, so there's a local, the Potmosby Netball competition that most of them play in, but there's discussions around creating another competition, so like a Super League, or where we have this group of girls at that high-level competition week in, week out. So they're hoping it will start in February and then go until April.
Jamie, I've always been curious about seeing players that have now transitioned into coaching, and I've just found out as well that I am where I work with Lua on Team Up. So, but I want to know, what was she like as a player, and has some of that qualities kind of transferred into her coaching?
Yeah, look, she was one of the elite players we had in the country. A former PNG Peppers, putting that experience into big use, and now that she's transitioned from a player to coach. So a lot of these girls are from that last visit I made to the courts. A lot of these girls are very young, so soaking that experience, learning from Coach Rikis as well as Coach McInnes is a lot, and I'm sure their experience will help the national team improve and learn as much as they can as they move forward.
Yeah, great work, Jamie. Mel, we'll hear from you a bit later in the show with your chess chat with Vanuatu Chess Federation's Jeremy Ellison, who is feeling excited about the rise of chess in Vanuatu. But for now, though, let's hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a and do this.
Island hopping.
Yes, we've talked about netball, but there's plenty of other sport around this week. So let's go island hopping. And the best way we do that is grab a paddle, jump in the Va'a, and cruise around the Pacific. Jamie, I imagine you've gotten some muscle on your arms from all the paddling we did a few weeks ago. So I'm sure you'll be good to go this time around. Are you ready to go, Mel?
I am ready to go again.
Go again, okay.
We're ready.
Ready, are you sure? Okay, well, let's sit back and enjoy the view, and let's get to round two of the OFC Pro League, which has wrapped up, and teams were hungry to get into the top four. How did they go?
Yeah, look, before we pedal to other parts of the Pacific, I'm just going to hold the Va'a back in Papua New Guinea. Obviously, the OFC Pro League Round 2 wrapped up on Sunday in Port Moresby. The biggest upset of that round was having Solomon Kings. I know that's your team, Sam.
That is my team.
Solomon Kings.
That is my team. Up the Kings.
Yay. Solomon Kings hung on in the second round, pulling one of the biggest upset in the league, defeating Auckland FC 3-1, despite their first loss against Bulla FC and draw against South Island. That was actually the biggest upset of the tournament. And get this, before the last match day on Saturday, a lot of the players had tummy bugs and got sick. And their head coach, Benjamin Khan, was actually worried that they wouldn't recover before the match, but somehow they pulled a miracle and just got that win. Everyone who was supporting, it shocked everyone, especially the fans who came out in numbers at the National Football Stadium. Now, for Bulla FC, on the other hand, they
were you cooking again? Were you? Were you cooking? Were you the guest chef? Is that why they all got sick?
I wish. Probably, I don't know. Nah, I'm just joking. I think that it was something to do with the food that they had at the hotel. So, oh, but they pulled
that
through,
is
man.
The
it
worst.
Was a miracle.
Before we move on to that, has anyone had that experience, though, of
yes.
that tummy bug and then
yep.
thinking that you have to play the next day?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you go? Did you end up playing or no?
Just end up playing and take our little breaks.
Oh, you took your little break. So you actually, that, oh, wow. Okay. So, Mel, you actually.
Yeah, for
you,
me, I wouldn't.
You didn't take the field, Jamie.
I couldn't play. No. Rugby is very physical. I might faint or die in the field. Who knows? It's very
man. You know, one game in Japan, it happened to me in the warm-up. Something hit me in the warm-up. And then, yes, I had to sprint off quickly. Played the 40 minutes, but every ruck, yep, it was touching cloth. But anyway, let's move on. Oh, man, yeah, good times.
Yeah.
Good times, but not really good times. But what else is happening in the OFC to wrap things up?
Yep. Apart from the Solomon Kings, Bulla FC, on the other hand, registered their first win in the league. That was against the Kings, despite their draw against South Melbourne and their recent loss against Tahiti United. Tahiti United, with a win in the last match, they drew with Vanuatu and lost against Auckland FC. Now, for the home team, PNG Hikari, they improved in their round two matches despite narrow losses and a draw. Their final match against South Island was a strong draw until, get this, Solomon Islands international, Robu Boyes, came off the bench and scored the winning goal to turn the draw into a loss. So that was really unfortunate. But for Vanuatu United, on the other hand, they registered two draws and a massive loss against South Melbourne after four red cards were shown for ill-disciplined performance. Unfortunately, the match ended with only 8 players on the field. Now, after 6 days in PNG, the best goal scored by far, if you ask me, was from Niuean footballer Jalen Rodwell of South Island United. And he scored the best goal 30 yards out of the box. So that's the highlight for round two. And I'm on the hype around football. The highlight of this was having 5 football clubs visit local schools in Port Moresby and engaging with kids who were overjoyed to see pro footballers. So, yeah, I can tell you that the OFC Pro League is growing vastly, but with the week's break, all teams are now recovering and prepping for round 3, which is now confirmed for Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. All the teams are representing their families, their countries, and themselves very well over there, and looking forward to the games in Australia. Mel, now we'll go to you. How long do you think it'll take us to get to American Samoa from PNG by boat, especially with you two paddling?
You're asking me to think of my geography at the moment. I've already been trying to figure out math with 30 yards. I don't know what that is in meters. So
yeah, don't ask me either. I wouldn't have a clue. Where would you even go? Are we going? So we're PNG. We're north of Australia, and America is from PNG. We're going south, north, east, or west. Where are we going?
I can't
circles.
Yes.
Anyway, we're there anyway. What have you got for us?
Well, we are in American Samoa. It took us the amount of time we've been chatting for me to get us to American Samoa, Sam. But we are talking about, we are at the East Pacific Regionals for tennis, which has happened in over the last week from February 2 to February 2nd in American Samoa, with teams including Tahiti, or French Polynesia as they are known in international competitions, Tonga, Samoa, Cook Islands, and American Samoa, the host. All these tournaments, the West Pacific Regionals have already happened. The North Pacific Regionals have also happened. These are all in the lead up to the Pacific Oceania Junior Championships, which will be happening in April, from April 10th to April 18th in Fiji. But there must be something, I think it needs to be studied, something about playing on home grounds and home soil, home courts, because American Samoa took medaled in all the different categories except for the under 12 boys team category. But results from that tournament, girls under 12 team, Cook Islands came out on top with the gold medal for that, American Samoa with the silver, and French Polynesia, Tahiti with bronze, and the boys under 12 team Tahiti, French Polynesia with gold, and Tonga in silver, and Cook Islands in American Samoa picked up the gold, and the boys under 14 singles as well, and picked up the gold, and the boys under 14 doubles, and also picked up gold in the girls under 14 singles. And also in the girls under 14 doubles. So American Samoa just pretty much raked up most of the medals that were available in that tournament in American Samoa. And again, this is probably an advantage for playing on home soil, but American Samoa are celebrating and are happy and will be going to the Pacific Oceania Junior Championships very, very well prepared.
How good, how good. Plenty of future stars there in the sport of tennis. Okay, Jamie, we're going back to you. We're in the va'a, and I can see the bright lights of Fiji. I'm seeing Fiji in the distance. Is that where we're headed next?
Bulawinaka. Yeah, we're going to the land of Bula.
Yes. And why are we heading over there?
Oh, my gosh. The Super Rugby season is back. And what way to start off than the first round in Fiji? And the Battle of the Pacific, if you ask me.
What? So who are you thinking here? So the Battle of the Pacific, we've got Moana Pacifica up against the Drua. Just firstly, what's your prediction for this one?
It will be a tough one, but I love both teams, but I'm going to go with Moana Pacifica.
Do you think they're going to get up?
Yeah, it's always a tough match between these both teams, but I'm rooting for Moana Pacifica.
Okay, I'm going to go against you. I think the Drua are going to win, and I think they're going to win well over there. They've got some good home stars. Advantage. They've got some good stars. Even though my cousin Patrick Pellegrini's been announced at fly half, so he'll be starting fly in half, that one. Yeah. But I think they'll be sending a lot of traffic down his way, so he'll probably be making a lot of tackles, which he probably doesn't want to make with some of those big Fijian boys, that's for sure. But in the Sugar City, again, when you think about Super Rugby Pacific, 30 years of history, but to have round one with two Pacific Island teams going at each other, some are calling it the Carver Bowl, but it's a pretty special occasion. When even for myself, when I think about, it's 5 years now since I've retired from Super Rugby, seeing the countries that have been involved in Super before, like Argentina, Japan, South Africa, and now we're having teams like Fiji, and we have Moana Pacifica representing Tonga and Samoa. It's pretty special, isn't it, ladies, when you think of the rich history in rugby that this is happening in this day and age.
Yeah, it's really great to see Pacific Islands finally having teams and to play professionally at this level. Now, for Fiji and Drua side, just by looking at the lineups, there's some good, like what you mentioned, it's going to be tough for Moana Pacifica, especially five players who are returning home after years away to don the Drua jersey for the first time. You have the flying Fijian lock, Temo Mayana Vanua, also Manasa Mataele, former Wallaby Isaac Fines Lelewasa, and also Virimi Vakatawa. They will be making their debut in the Fijian Drua side, consisting of several flying Fijians. So it's mostly like consisting of the national rep players. Now, apart from the Drua side, one thing that stood out for me for the Moana Pacifica side was Tongan international William Havili will be making his 50th appearance and the first for Moana Pacifica when they face Drua in Lautoka this weekend. And Miracle Failangi has been given the big role as captain to lead this season after the departure of Ari Savea. It is a huge task, but also a special moment for Samoan rugby, having local talent make it this far in professional rugby. Now, Moana Pacifica is led by coach Tama Umanga, who also refreshed the squad, so welcoming a number of new signings alongside returning campaigners as they look to build momentum. Now, the squad features experienced players such as Augustine Pulu, Julian Savea, and also former All Blacks Ghani Laumape, who makes his debut this weekend. Now, for head-to-head fixtures, the two teams have met six times in Super Rugby Pacific, with Drua holding a slight edge, winning four encounters against Moana Pacifica's two. So, especially with this year's season, it is very crucial, especially for Pacific rugby players, with many working to secure their spot in the national team, especially for the 2027 Rugby World Cup in Australia.
I'll tell you right now, that matchup between Vakatawa and La Mape, wowee, that's going to be a special one for those two, locking horns and going at each other. I'd hate to be in the middle of that one. But look, good luck to both teams. It's going to be the game of the round, and I can't wait to see who actually takes this one out. But I think the drawer will get over the line. Mel, we're going to get to you now. We've got Oceania Track and Cycling Championships happening. What have you got for us here?
Sam, I have brought you guys back to New Zealand because you're dropping me off here as well to continue my holiday. But I've brought us here, no results, but I've brought us here for a discussion because the Oceania Track Cycling Championships 2026 is currently happening in Cambridge here in New Zealand from the 10th to the 14th of February. And the tournament is made to be for the best elite under-19s and paracyclists from across New Zealand, Australia, American Samoa, Cook Islands, Fiji, Guam, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, New Caledonia, Northern Mariana Islands, and Tahiti or French Polynesia. But in this edition, I can only see participation from two athletes from New Caledonia so far. And outside of this, there are no athletes from any other eligible Pacific Island countries. And if you're looking into the sort of like the finals that are happening, going to be happening very soon, it will be between New Zealand and Australia again. And the OCC, which is the Oceania Cycling Confederation, is made up of 15 member nations, which within the Oceania region, which comprises of 12 full members and three associate members that are New Caledonia, Northern Mariana Islands, and Tahiti. Why do we think that there are no more Pacific Island countries participating in this competition? Is it, I can guess that funding and being able to fund the equipment and the facilities required to be able to train in Pacific Island countries is almost near impossible, but do we think that something can be done and about this so that we can get more Pacific Island representation?
Is this indoor or outdoor cycling?
Indoor.
It is indoor
track
cycling,
indoor, yeah.
Okay.
Where you compete on a velodrome.
Velodrome, okay.
Yep.
Jamie, what's your thoughts? Is any indoor velodrome facilities in PNG where athletes can, you know, try out this sport?
To be honest, there's none here in Papua New Guinea, probably at the gym. But then it's just for gym workouts. But yeah, I prefer in Papua New Guinea, we normally go with the normal bicycles that you cycle on the road.
Yeah. Well, because I guess when you think about probably cycling outdoors, I guess one of the big reasons why we've covered on that Pacific Sports Show is obviously like the roads aren't good enough as well to be able to cycle on. A fair few potholes for the cars, so I can't imagine how a bike would get over some of those potholes. But, you know, indoor, like, the equipment is so expensive. Like, how much would it be for a bike, do you think?
I'm not rich enough to even look at that information yet.
I'm assuming, it'd be in the thousands of dollars, you know?
Yes.
Like, and
yes.
When you think about that, then you've got the maintenance of it. If the tire goes and all sorts of things, then you've probably got the other things around, you know, my cousin wants to borrow the bike and take it down the road, you know, and he doesn't come back with it. So, like, there's just all those type of barriers that I think where it's going to be hard for probably our Pacific Island stars to be able to take up that sport. And you just think of, the indoor facilities that you need.
Absolutely. But Sam, do you think like this is it worth like the conversation around expanding our mindsets towards acceptance of other sports that are not the commonly accepted sports, such as maybe football or rugby? Maybe if we expand our mindsets a little bit that we could start getting more athletes into, especially Pacific Island athletes that live in, say, Australia, New Zealand.
Well, I think more sports, more opportunities, obviously, it's better for you. So it doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing, we've got chess as a sport, you know, which you're going to cover. If that allows someone to be present and focused and prepare and perform on a big stage, I'm all for it. I guess the hardest thing is, it's probably one of my favorite sayings, is you can't boil the ocean as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's sometimes it's okay just to be good and be known for certain things and stay in our lane, so to speak. And then if someone ventures out, happy days, we'll try and support them. But at the same time, if all our talent and our focus and our resources get put into, you know, those popular sports of rugby, football, rugby league, that's okay as well. But we'll see what happens in the future. If more funding comes through, hopefully we can see some cycling stars down the track.
What I'm hearing is you're going to try it out.
Absolutely not. I don't look good in lycra. I, they call it a little muffin top will hang over my lycra suit. on the side. So I don't want that showing for anyone else but myself and my wife. But anyway, that's let's move on from that. Appreciate it, Mel and Jamie. You're always bringing in the big guns and amazing stories, and I'm surprised you're even paddling on your holidays, Mel. So appreciate your effort.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Okay, let's dive into our second chat today as we bring you not only the news and stories, but also the people that make up our amazing region across so many different sports. And Mel, you've got an interesting one for us. I'm not sure most would consider this a sport. I did say it was a sport just previously, but the sport of chess. How did you come upon this one?
Yes. Look, I came upon chess as a sport in Vanuatu last year, around a year ago to almost to date, on Facebook, where and they're having a competition. So I spoke with the secretary of the Vanuatu Chess Federation at that time, Jeremy Ellison, and I just somehow managed to get him again and realized that I spoke with him a year ago, but I had the opportunity to speak with him again this time around. Jeremy Ellison, he's still the secretary of the Vanuatu Chess Federation, and we decided to look into the growth and the progress, because when we chatted 1 year ago, we were talking about all the new tournaments and competitions they were looking to start. And this year, they have about six of those tournaments running now, and they're all pretty successful and very much accepted into Vanuatu community. So that's who I chatted with.
Well, it's been a completely exciting time here in Vanuatu for chess. We made a lot of progress with introducing the game of chess to people of all ages, who have in turn showed a lot of interest in sharing the game to their friends. One of the biggest differences I've seen is the level of interaction and skill levels that people are developing in such a short amount of time. And it's really been exciting to see how our young players are really starting to take a hold of the seriousness that's needed to progress and be competitive. I think those are a couple of the biggest changes I've seen. But as well, the amount of people that have shown up to our last tournament was 37, 38 players that came, which tops the largest tournament that we've ever run here in Vanuatu.
This all sounds like amazing progress over the last year. And you did mention that you're now running a range of competitions. I've looked at the competitions that you're running, and those competitions include programs in schools and even within the prison system as well. What has been the motivation behind expanding chess into these spaces, and how have you managed to facilitate these diverse tournaments? And you know, just what has been the response been from participants and the communities that are involved in this tournament?
Yeah, the response has just been a lot of acceptance. Our motivation has been to give all persons in Vanuatu the opportunity to learn this game. If they're interested and they have the opportunity to come and learn, we are happy to teach them. Chess can be a game that's played for fun with a lot of great communal camaraderie involved. And chess can also be played at a very high competitive level. And we want to provide Vanuatu with learning a game that will reward players, not just on the board, but that would be through successes, recognition, maybe through prizes perhaps, but also rewarding through the skills that are required to play the game, such as time management, critical thinking, mental endurance, these sort of skills that are able to transfer subconsciously into our everyday lives and have positive impacts on our day-to-day successes.
You're talking about a lot of the positive impacts of chess and having chess in our communities in Vanuatu. But, you know, I know that as the organization continues to grow, you will be facing new and often unique challenges that will emerge as part of that growth. What would you say at the moment are some of the key challenges that Vanuatu Chess is currently facing, and how have you been working towards addressing or overcoming them?
I would say there's two key challenges that we're facing right now. The first would be financial, and the second would be just getting exposure to big tournaments. Both of those sort of flow hand in hand to each other. But to overcome these obstacles, we want to be able to wisely put Vanuatu into a position where we can lead the way for the region, the Pacific region, for chess development. whether it be through player development or school programs that we're looking to launch really soon. We want to be able to put together resources and tournaments that can provide the necessary reach to, in the future, extend invitations and bring up the level of chess in our very wide neighborhood here in the Pacific. We've sadly just lost one of our key sponsors for our school initiatives, but we are beginning to run some key fundraising campaigns over this next month in order to fund our events. We've got a couple big events coming up that we want to have the opportunity to send players to. So that would be like an international tournament. And we also have some domestic major campaign ideas, which would be running more school tournaments in each of the schools. And yeah, we just want to be able to provide an opportunity for all players to be able to compete at a high level. Vanuatu as a whole is one of the most active federations in the region representing chess. We try and host a tournament once every week or every two, just depends on how busy we are. And then as the year progresses, tournament opportunities are going to just continue to present themselves. And we're gonna try and allow every person the opportunity to play, whether it be online or in person.
Well, Jeremy, look, regardless of those challenges, I think you've earned bragging rights with the way you've talked about some of the great developments and the fantastic things that have come from Vanuatu Chess over the last year. But now, just wanting to know, with all these new development that is happening, there will also be more opportunities for Vanuatu to compete beyond just the local level. What upcoming regional or international tournaments is Vanuatu Chess preparing for, and what do these opportunities mean for the future of the sport in the country?
Yeah, I'll mention a couple of tournaments that we have coming up. I'll even mention one in 2 weeks that we have. It's just going to be a very simple blitz tournament, but the part that makes this special is that we have some chess guests coming over from Sydney, Australia, and we're excited to host them and give the opportunity for our players to be able to play against some proven international talent. And just being able to host international players is something that we don't take lightly. In April, we have the upcoming Youth Chess Zonal, which we are going to be looking to send about 10 players, about 5 guys and 5 girls from Vanuatu to go represent in Christchurch, New Zealand. Personally, I'm looking to go to the Commonwealth Chess Championships, which are being hosted in Kaluthara, Sri Lanka, from May. I'm looking to hopefully represent with another player or two. And that would be a very exciting opportunity to go represent at the Commonwealth Chess Championships.
Perfect. Unreal there. And what would you say is the most positive thing about playing chess, for someone? Like, what would be the most positive thing about playing chess for our Pacific Island people?
Look, I am all for, mental stimulation, because especially for young people who don't go to school, chess is a very mental game, being strategic about things. And I think that that's very important as Pacific Islanders, just to be able to take on a different perspective towards life and to be able to be strategic. I'm very big on that. And I, if I go back to Vanuatu, I will probably join the cover sessions, cover and chess, which seems like the perfect combination for me. But I think that's great. And also
just
the
cover, cover and chess.
Yes, cover and chess.
How does the brain function after a few cups?
See, that's the thing. You challenge yourself. You challenge your brain. Push it to the limit.
Oh man, I'm with you. I reckon I would have fallen asleep if that was me, carver and chess. But Jamie, when we talked about resources, it doesn't, for chess, man, you can have 100 people in a room and it's not going to be expensive at all. Like, that's definitely one of the positive things about chess, is that it's not an expensive sport.
It's not an expensive sport, but I can agree with Mel on this one. The sport of chess is actually growing. We have a federation here in Papua New Guinea as well. And yeah, a lot of, to keep kids off the streets, there's a, one of the clubs called Chess in the Hood here in Papua New Guinea that does something just to keep youths busy. So I really like what Vanuatu is doing, and yeah, good spot.
All right, who's winning the chess game or the sport of chess between you and Mel, Jamie?
Honestly, I haven't played any chess yet, but I can try if I'm going up against Mel.
Then my online chess gaming has given me, I think I can, but just because of that, I think I'll win.
Yeah, okay, the three moves. three move checkmate is coming your way, Jamie. Okay, easy victory for Mel. Perfect stuff. I really appreciate it. Great work.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, we're coming towards the end of the show. We're going to play Fresh Off the Dome. Every week I'll ask three questions. Mel and Jamie, they'll use their name as a buzzer. And if you think you know the answer, you can play along at home too. So we'll be ready for Fresh Off the Dome. Are we ready, ladies?
Melissa is ready.
Ready. Ooh, let's go.
Speaking in the third person, I like it. Let's go. Question number one. What sport is the world's fastest racket sport?
Melissa.
Go, Mel.
Badminton.
Of course it is. Of course it is. We've been talking about it the last 3 weeks. She's on the money there. A shuttlecock can travel faster than a Formula One car with the smash speeds exceeding 400 kilometres an hour. That's what it told me. That's what they're saying.
Oh, my goodness.
And it makes sense why Jamie got nowhere near the shuttlecock when she played. Too quick for her. Anyway, question number two. Spell Tahiti backwards.
Oh, Jamie. Melissa.
Oh, I've got to go with you, Jamie.
I-T-I-H-A-T. Did you say spell Tahiti backwards?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Is that correct? I'm still struggling to spell it forwards. how good that is correct. It is one apiece. Hit my celebration button there, producer. Okay, so it is one or, and that's how you spell Tahiti backwards if you've just tuned in. I'm struggling to spell it forwards, as I said just before, but let's go to question number three. Multiple choice. A standard chessboard features how many pieces? Is it A, 24, B, 30, or C, 32?
Jamie.
Jamie, go for it.
Yep. Mel's done chess already, so she might know this, but I'm going to go with the wild guess. My best guess is B30.
Mel, what do you think?
32.
It is 32. Celebrations all around. A standard chessboard features 32 total pieces, 16 pieces per player. Each side consists of one king, one queen, two rooks, two bishops, two knights, and eight pawns. There you go. There we go. Mel, you take the chocolates today. 2 points Yay. To one.
That's two from two this year, Sam.
Really?
I'm keeping track. Cool. Yes.
Oh, man. You should stay on holiday more often, yeah, actually.
Yes.
You get better as you relax more. Perfect. How good. Oh, well, there's our winner. But before we end the show, we like to do this.
Player of the week.
Yes, I'm going to tell you about a player of the week that's, crossed my, I guess, socials this week that I'm always going to bring each week. So each week I'm going to tell you both about a sports person from across the Pacific, and it can be from any country, any sport, and of any ability, but it's our way of finishing the show on a massive high and give props to our stars in the region. And today is Pius Whistle. Have you guys heard of course you would know who Pius Whistle is. Of course. He is the man. I was fortunate enough to meet him on that Pacific Sports Show last year. Saw him in Palau just sprinting away there. He's the speed king. And early this year, and it's just the other day, he kicked off 2026 in record-breaking form. He equaled his national 60-meter record with a 6.64 seconds time at the ACT Championships in Canberra. He also clocked it was win-assisted, but he also clocked a 10.29 second time in the 100-meter heats. He's the national record holder for PNG with a 10.24 second time. He's an absolute champion of a bloke, and he deserves He deserves to be our player of the week. And he'll be actually heading off to Poland between March 21 and 23 for the World Athletics Indoor Championships in Poland. So we wish him all the best for that one. But that's our time up, ladies. A big thank you to my co-host, PNG journalist Jamie Huddle. Thank you, True Jamie.
Thank you, Tomas. Another fun episode. And thank you, Tomas, to my Susa Mel for always bringing the fun on the show.
Yes, big thank you to Mel. Thank you, Tomas. I really appreciate you. And keep killing it when you're back on. You hopefully can get 3 from 3 for Fresh Off the Dome.
I am planning on it. But thank you, Tomas, Sam, and thank you, Tomas, Jamie. Always fun to be on the show with you both. And look at you next time.
Awesome, awesome. And we appreciate you. Thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. And I'll be back next week with 2 new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.